when God revealed himself to Moses and said, I am who I am. And I've been thinking about those words a lot and how God has revealed himself down through the ages. And of course to Jesus, but he reveals himself to me. And I'm sure to you as well. But when God does reveal himself, he does so in such a way that it's understandable. He does so in such a way that we can understand that it's him and him alone. And so this morning, we want to continue on as we share in this great passage of scripture in John chapter 14, 13 and 14. We are in our fifth week of the I Am sayings of Jesus. And as we continue our journey through the gospel account, we come to a very crucial pivot point in chapter 13. After Jesus washes his disciples' feet and they celebrate the Passover meal together, Judas leaves to betray Jesus. He departs. Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus knew what he was going to be up to. But he departs. And from that point forward, through the end of his high priestly prayer, as recorded for us in John chapter 17, Jesus is focused 100% on preparing his followers to be able to carry on after his impending crucifixion. That was his goal, to prepare his disciples for what would happen after he dies on the cross. A lot of the disciples didn't understand what was ahead. They had no idea what was coming. But Jesus was trying to relay to them truths from the kingdom and truths that had been even prophesied before. And to me, that's absolutely amazing as you think of it. Jesus knows that he is about to suffer the most humiliating and painful death imaginable to humanity. And he's already beginning to experience the heavy burden of all the sins of mankind being laid upon him. And that's what happened at the cross. Jesus took the sins of all humanity and he bore them out. And he died for the sins of all humanity. But instead of being preoccupied with his own worries, and he had every right to be preoccupied with his own worries. In fact, the Bible says that he could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him and take him out of that situation. He spends his final moments on earth and days encouraging and equipping his followers. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about his followers. He was concerned about John and Peter and Matthew and Andrew and Philip and all the disciples. So is it no wonder that John begins this entire section of the gospel account with these words here in John chapter 13. And if you look back at verse 1, this is what he says. This is sort of what sets the tone. It says this, that it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. He knew that the day was at hand. He knew that the hour had arrived. And so his intentions were to prepare his followers, to prepare his disciples, and to bring them to that point where they would understand that this indeed, truly, is the Son of God, the Son of Man, that would give himself for the sin of the whole world. So this morning, as we look at this passage, we see one of the other I Am sayings of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of John. We'll begin by determining what Jesus does for his followers as the one who is the way, the one who is the truth, and the one who is the life. And then as we've done each week, we'll focus on how this impacts us. We'll look at the implications for our lives as we consider what this truly means to us. Many times we read this passage in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, and we hear it being read many times at funeral services. And many times this passage is actually taken out of context. And it's kind of taken out of context in the sense that maybe a different message comes from it from what is really intended by Christ himself. So I want us to look very carefully at these three truths today, these three statements. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. But the important thing to remember is what comes after it. No one comes to the Father apart from me. And that is something sometimes we leave out. No one comes to the Father but by me. But what does Jesus really mean by saying, I am the way? Well, the first thing we consider here this morning is this, that as the way, Jesus enables me to go to God. Jesus enables me to have access to God. Both Peter and Thomas indicated that they didn't know where Jesus was going. And so they were totally clueless. They were almost on another planet. But that is certainly not because Jesus hadn't revealed that to them. Not only had he just told them that he was going to prepare a place for them, that where he would be, they would be also, they would come to be later on. But Jesus had previously spoken frequently of the fact that he had come from the presence of his heavenly Father and that he was going to return to the Father, that he was going back to be with the Father. In John chapter 6, verse 38, it says, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then later on in John chapter 7, verses 34 and 35, it says, Jesus said, I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to be with him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. And then in John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, So he said to them again, I'm going away. And you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. And so, for that moment, they could not come. But Jesus says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you will be also. And so that's an amazing truth that we have as believers. It's hard not to imagine why the disciples either refused to believe what Jesus told them or that they had at least hoped that what he was telling them wasn't really true. And after all, they had spent the last 3 years with Jesus in his public ministry. They followed him wherever he went. They learned the kingdom truths from the amazing teachings of Jesus, who was the best teacher that ever lived and ever walked on the face of the earth. Jesus would sit down at times and he would draw in the sand to teach his disciples important, eternal, biblical, heavenly truths. And he was the master of all teachers. And so after all they had spent the last 3 years with him, in the physical presence of Jesus, and they didn't want to lose out on that face-to-face contact. So the disciples were perplexed. They were confused. They did not want to leave Jesus' side because he had taught them so much. They had been with him from day one of the beginning of his earthly ministry. But with this claim to be on the way, Jesus is gently reminding his followers that they really do know where he's going, and the only way that they can get there is by believing in him. The theme, really, of the Gospel of John is believing in Jesus. You see that word come about so many times as you read the Gospel of John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the question is, what does it mean to believe? What does it mean to understand what God's revelation is to us, and to believe that Jesus is the true Son of God, so that our hope would be fixed in him, and not in ourselves, and not in the world around us? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? And a lot of people today get very confused when it comes to this whole idea of belief. Many people think it's a head knowledge that somehow you have to intellectually comprehend. Well, let me tell you, folks, there's no possible way to intellectually comprehend what Jesus did for you on the cross. There's no possible way for you to understand it with a rational mind, because what Jesus did and how God revealed himself through Jesus Christ is of supernatural consequence. It's a supernatural statement and understanding. So in this letter to the Gospel of John, we see Jesus at the very center, but belief being at the forefront. There are other passages of Scripture as well. I wish I could have time to share with you, but Jesus as God in the flesh is the antidote to this whole idea that somehow we are who we are in Christ. And it's the antidote to the thinking of this world, rather, that Jesus was just a good teacher, or Jesus was just a good moral man. Jesus is God in the flesh. We're not free to make God whoever we want to make him. Did you know that? We're not free to do that, because Jesus has revealed himself to us. And that's the way it must be. If it's not according to what the Word of God reveals, then it's of another, perhaps false teaching. Jesus reveals God as he really is, not as we want him to be. When we read the accounts of the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, we see that on all his various audiences, when we see how he ministered to people, when we see the miracles that he performed, when we see that what Jesus did on the cross, all these things, we get to know God much better because we are seeing Jesus up close and personal. We are seeing him for who he really is, the Son of God. And so the main reason that we're spending all these weeks together is to know Jesus better through his own words, that we get to know Jesus. And we get to know the Father. And we have that intimate relationship with him that he calls us to. And so, he is the way. There's no other way. If you think there's another way, then you're wrong. Because the Word of God is very clear. Jesus enables me to go to God. As the truth, Jesus enables me to fully know God. He is the truth. He's not only the way, but he is the truth. There are so many people today that profess all these things that they call truth, but it's not really truth. Because Jesus is the embodiment of truth. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. And he says, I am truth. My word is truth, in John chapter 17. And so, you know, all the things that we're fed to believe today, all the things that we get from the secular media and from the system of this world, we're told to believe that we can take our pick, that it's multiple choice. That's not the way it is. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. There is no other truth. And do not believe there's any other truth than what Jesus has revealed himself to be. And unfortunately, we are fed to believe so many lies, so many things today that are absolutely scandalous and terrible and unbiblical. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the truth. And finally, he is the life. As the life, Jesus enables me to grow in my relationship with God. He allows me to grow. One of the great privileges, one of the great joys as a believer in Christ is to be able to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, to be able to grow in our understanding of who God is, to be able to grow in our love relationship with God and our love relationship with one another. We see repeatedly in the gospel accounts that the disciples really didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. And if you were probably around in that particular day, you would be of the same mind. And even after Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, he turns around and he tries to tell Jesus that he shouldn't do that. He tells him he shouldn't go to the cross. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, the scripture says, and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and to be killed. Not only was he saying that to his disciples, but it was prophesied back in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And Peter took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him and telling him, no, you can't do that, Jesus. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And so Peter was really in denial, I guess you could say. And he was saying that this was not to be. But Jesus knew otherwise. Jesus, the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, would offer himself to the cross. And so we see a picture here of the disciples growing in their relationship with God throughout that entire process. And it's not later until the book of Acts that we see many of the disciples like Peter and John and Andrew and some of the other disciples really coming to understand that this is part of the plan of God. This is part of the picture of God's revelation, of God's plan for humanity and what God wanted. In this passage here in John chapter 14, Jesus is calling on his followers to relate to God in a new and better way. And we see the words of Jesus as he continues this discourse that he gives in John chapter 14, verse number 12. He says, "Verily I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father." I'm going to the Father. So as the way Jesus enables me to go to God, to have access to God, we have access to him, as the book of Ephesians says. As the truth, Jesus enables me to fully know him, not just a head knowledge, but a faith knowledge, to be able to know him personally and intimately. And as the life, Jesus enables me to grow with God, to grow my understanding of who God is, to grow my understanding of what God's plan is for my life. So what are the implications? What does this mean to us? What are the applications that we need to address in our own lives and take to heart and to live out each and every day? The first one is this, that the only way to comfort a troubled heart is to trust in Jesus. What a great thing it is to have Jesus Christ in your life when you're faced with tragedy, when you're faced with disappointment, when you're faced with difficulties that just seem to be insurmountable, that you cannot handle on your own. What a great and wonderful thing it is that, when I do a funeral service for a believer in Christ, that they can put their trust in Jesus Christ, that their hearts can be given peace, and their lives can be given joy, even in the midst of sadness, because of their relationship with Christ. I love this passage and I love reading it during, you know, funeral services especially. And the words here really stick out. They really stand out. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. What a wonderful promise that is. That God has gone ahead of us in Jesus Christ to prepare a place. For me, it's specific for you and for me. We have our own little corner, if you could say, in heaven. We have our own little spot. It's reserved especially for you, for me. And that's a great promise from God's Word. He says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And someday you're going to be there, and you're going to join me, and you're going to be with those who have gone on before you as well. And so the implication is that in times of trouble, and we're facing times of trouble right now, folks, we are living in a troubled world. We are living in desperate times. We are living in a time right now where there is trouble everywhere. Everywhere we see trouble. And we can trust in Jesus Christ, even through in the midst of it all. Jesus used this word believe 5 times in this particular passage that I just read to you. And all we need to do is believe. Believe. He uses it 4 times as commands. The idea of belief is central to the Gospel of John. Almost on every chapter, we see the word believe. And it's used 98 times in this entire book, the word belief. Far more than it's used in all the other Gospels. Far more than it's used in any other part of Scripture. The word believe. And, you know, we need to understand what that means in our own lives. To believe. One thing I do know is that I can be comforted. My heart can be comforted. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, facing all the situations you face, facing all the troubles you face, all the difficulties, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is telling that to his followers today. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, he's telling that to you. Let not your heart be troubled. You got nothing to worry about. Now, I know there's some of us that are worry warts, they call them. But you know, when we believe, it takes it to a different level of understanding and application. And so we need to think about that. We need to ask God to help us in our unbelief. You see, oftentimes we don't understand everything that's going on around us. We don't. We certainly don't understand what's happening in Ukraine and why it's happening. Why would so much evil exist? We don't understand that. Things seem to be out of control, even in this country. And we too experience confusion. And we experience chaos in our lives. This world right now is crazy because it's chaotic. And we can't make sense of why things are happening as they are happening right now in this country and in this world. So we need an anchor. Jesus exhorts us to believe. Jesus exhorts us to trust in him. And that is the only way we can stop letting our... We can trust in him and not be troubled. And so this is essentially the same message that Jesus delivered on the Sermon on the Mount. If you look back to the Sermon on the Mount, he was saying the same thing. Wherever he went, whatever he did, in all the miracles that he performed, he was just saying, believe, believe me. And I love this verse in the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, 31 to 34. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, but be sufficient for the day is its own trouble. A paraphrase of that verse is, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. And it does. Trusting in him. Do not be anxious. Are you caught up in anxiousness today? Many of us are. Anxiousness can have a mental effect upon us. Anxious can have a physiological effect upon us. Anxiousness can do us in. Jesus says, don't be anxious. Believe. Trust me. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the second application is this, that Jesus is more concerned with my eternal joy than my instant relief. You know, it's kind of like for us, we like to, if we've got a headache or something, we take an aspirin or ibuprofen or something like that, and we expect that within a few moments that pain or that discomfort is gone. That's just the way we are as human beings. We tend to like to see an end, very quick end to any discomfort. But Jesus is telling us, in all the troubles that we face, he says that, you know, some of the troubles you're facing is meant for your eternal joy. It's meant for your eternal well-being. It's meant that he is more concerned about your eternal joy than he is when it comes to the temporal things of life. And I believe that's what God's word tells us. I believe that's what he wants us to know and understand. Jesus knew that the only way to provide eternal joy for his followers was to die on the cross for their sins and then return to his Father to prepare an eternal home for them. That was what Jesus knew the plan was, the big plan. There was no part B plan or anything else. It was a part A plan. Jesus knew what his followers still hadn't figured out, that it was better for them to experience, even at that time, it's better for them to experience temporary tribulation, temporary trouble here on earth, and to receive the eternal blessings that would come as a result of what he was going to do on the cross. Many years later, the Apostle Paul confirmed this principle in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. He says, so we do not lose heart. It's one of my favorite verses. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We need to keep an eternal mindset, an eternal perspective on all the things that come our way, no matter what they are. And so maybe you've been wandering around spiritually, not really perhaps thinking about these things, perhaps not understanding what God's plan is for you, not really being convicted that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe that's you today. I don't know. Maybe you're not willing to ask him for direction right now. But let me tell you, my friend, that Jesus is the way. He will set you in the right course, in the right direction. He is the way. He is the truth, because he is the embodiment of truth. And he is life. He is life now, and he is life forever. And if you trust him, he'll enable you to go to God and truly know God and truly grow with God. That's his plan. That's what happened at the cross. That's His will for you in Christ Jesus. That's His desire for you every moment of every day. That's why He gave Himself for you, so that you might gather in the blessings of what it means to believe, what it means to trust Him. As I try to share Christ, I had an opportunity actually yesterday of sharing Christ with someone, and I told them, I said, if you're thinking your good works is going to save you, then the Bible tells us that's not correct. And he said, well, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe that what that book is really true or not. And I had an opportunity to share with him that God's word is true, and heaven is real, hell is real, and that God wants that person to be saved and to have a relationship with Him and to have their sin forgiven. And I would share just maybe 5 minutes with this person and told them how much God loved them. And I told them, just put aside this whole idea that you don't believe the Bible to be true. I asked them to just stop and to just invite God to reveal Himself to you and show Himself to you. And I said, I'll be praying for you, praying that God will reveal Himself. God will show Himself to you. God will show up and help you to understand and give you a heart of belief. And that's the message of the gospel that we have to share in this community. And wherever we go, the people that we work with, family members, whoever it might be, that's what God wants us to do. So I pray that He'll help us do that. I pray that our focus will be upon what it means to believe in Jesus Christ every single day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the promises of Your word, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, many people look for ways to find hope in this world. I pray that they would turn to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from Him. And so, Lord, I pray that that message would be engraved in our hearts. And, Lord, that our lives would reflect Your presence, Your glory, and these eternal truths. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn this morning and prepare also for communion. And Lead Me to Calvary is the hymn. And it's a beautiful worship song, beautiful hymn. So let's stand as we sing.